1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? Board of Votes Values is currently seeking volunteers to help produce a voter guide in your county. If you are interested in helping voters vote their values, visit www.floridavotesvalues.com and send us a message. Again, that's www.floridavotesvalues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Long.
Today we are continuing our sermon series, moving beyond racism to establish liberty and justice for all. And today we ask the question, shouldn't all Black lives matter? In fact, shouldn't all lives matter? We've heard the phrase, and it's been used by many that are protesting Black Lives Matter over that are protesting over the death of George Floyd at the hands of a police officer in Minneapolis. But how about David Patrick Underwood? Did his life matter? How about David Dorn? Did his life matter? How about Italia Marie Kelly? Did her life matter? How about Chris Beeney? Did his life matter? These are all Blacks or mixed race individuals who have been killed during the riots in various cities. Rioting started on May 28th in Minneapolis, Minnesota, over the death of George Floyd, who was allegedly murdered by police officer Derek Chauvin. Since then, the riots have spread to major cities like New York City, Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, Oakland, Louisville, and St. Louis. On May 29th, David Patrick Underwood, 53 years old, was killed during riots in Oakland, California. Underwood, according to police, was trying to keep the peace during riots when he was fatally shot. My brother, David Patrick Underwood, a federal officer, was murdered 5/29/20 in Oakland, California, while on duty during the riots, Underwood's sister wrote on her Facebook page. This violence must stop. David Dorn. On the night of June 1st, David Dorn, a 77-year-old retired St. Louis, Missouri police captain, was shot and killed by looters who broke into a pawn shop. Dorn's murder was allegedly streamed live on Facebook, but has since been taken down. On the evening of May 31st, 22-year-old Italia Marie Kelly, a biracial woman, was killed in a random shooting as she was leaving a protest in Davenport, Iowa. Kelly had been attending a protest after work in support of George Floyd, but decided to leave when the crowd became unruly. That's when police say Kelly was struck by a random bullet, likely killing her instantly. On May 30th, Chris Beeney, a 38-year-old real estate broker and former Indiana University football player, was shot and killed by rioters in Indianapolis, Indiana, who were on a robbing spree. An eyewitness said Beeney had been trying to stop two thieves from robbing two women of their purses, telling them, "You don't need to do this. There's a better way." The thieves then shot Beeney, killing him. Do their lives matter? There was actually in Chicago just recently the most deadly day on record. Actually, 18 murders. Most of the victims were Black. Most of the perpetrators were Black. The police weren't involved in any of these. Have you heard about this? About what is happening up there? Have you heard about these murders? Do you see people protesting these 18 lives that were killed senselessly by other Black men? a hardworking father killed just before 1 a.m., a Westside High School student murdered 2 hours later, a man killed amid Southside looting at a cell phone store at 12:30 p.m., a college freshman who hoped to become a correctional officer gunned down at 4:25 p.m. after getting into an argument in Inglewood. While Chicago was roiled by another day of protest and looting in the wake of George Floyd's murder, 18 people were killed Sunday, May 31st, making it the single most violent day in Chicago in 6 decades, according to the University of Chicago Crime Lab. The lab's data doesn't go back further than 1961. From 7 p.m. Friday, May 29th, through 11 p.m. Sunday, May 31st, 25 people were killed in the city, with another 85 wounded by gunfire, according to data maintained by the Chicago Sun-Times. In a city with an international reputation for crime, where 900 murders were per year were common in the early 1990s, it was the most violent weekend in Chicago's modern history. "We've never seen anything like this at all," said Max Capustin, the senior research director at the crime lab. The Reverend Michael Fledger, a longtime crusader against gun violence who leads St. Sabina Church in Auburn, Gresham, said it was open season last weekend in his neighborhood and others on the south and west sides. "On Saturday, and particularly Sunday, I heard people saying all over, 'Hey, there's no police anywhere. The police aren't doing nothing.' I sat and watched a store looted for over an hour," he added. "No police came. I got in my car and drove around to some of the places getting looted and didn't see police anywhere." Mayor Lori Lightfoot said on May 31st alone, Chicago's 911 emergency center received 65,000 calls for all types of service, 50,000 more than a usual day. Of those who are killed each year in Chicago, most homicide victims are Black, young Black men, and the suspects are too. In fact, in 2019, 492 murders and 3 fatal police shootings happened that year. So, have you heard about this? Have you seen protest about this? These 492, by the way, George Floyd, his life was valuable, but so were the life of the people that have been killed in the riots. So were these 18 people killed in one day. So were the 492 people killed in 2019. When we look at the truth about police killing, and one of the things that we read last week from John chapter 8 is that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we're going to spread some truth. We're going to give you some truth that you may not hear everywhere else. You may not see this. You may not hear some other people. I'm not saying I'm the only one bringing this information, but many people are not actually bringing the truth on this subject. Cops killed twice as many whites as Blacks in 2015. According to data compiled by the Washington Post, 50% of the victims of fatal police shootings were white, while 26% were Black. The majority of these victims had a gun or were armed or otherwise threatening the officer with potentially lethal force, according to Heather McDonald in a speech at Hillsdale College. More whites and Hispanics die from police homicide than Blacks, according to McDonald. 12% of white and Hispanic homicide deaths were due to police officers, while only 4% of Black homicide deaths were the result of police officers. Black and Hispanic police officers are more likely to fire a gun at blacks than white officers. Also, blacks are more likely to kill cops than to be killed by cops. This is according to FBI data, which has found that 40% of cop killers are black. According to McDonald, the police officers are 18 times more likely to be killed by a black man than a cop killing an unarmed black person. According to FBI data, 4,906 black people were murdered by other blacks in 2010 and 2011. This is in the U.S. That's 1,460 more black Americans killed by other blacks in 2 years than were lynched from 1882 to 1868, according to the Tuskegee Institute. You may have heard this a few years ago. In fact, we actually preached this and shared some of this information 2 years ago. Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark said that if black lives mattered, the protesters would be outside of abortion clinics because a high number of black babies are killed by abortion. In Alabama, Alabama reported 58.7% of their abortions were on blacks, while in Georgia, they reported 52.1% abortion on blacks. In Tennessee, Tennessee performed 49.9% of their abortions on black women. In Virginia, performed 43.9% on black women, while Michigan black abortion percentage was 47.9%. New York City alone performed 46.1% of their abortions on black women and 41.1% of black abortions were reported in Missouri. Minority women only constitute 13% of the female population from ages 15 through 44. These are the ages that most women would be having an abortion. But they underwent approximately 36% of all abortions in America. Each year, 432,000 preborn children are killed by abortion, black babies killed by abortion each year. 432,000. Don't their lives matter? Shouldn't all lives matter? Shouldn't every black life matter? Certainly, if we're going to say black lives matter, we should be truthful. We should be honest. We should realize that the only black lives that matter to black lives, the Black Lives Matter organization, are the black lives that are killed by police officers. If you're black and you're killed, gunned down by another black person, your life doesn't matter to Black Lives Matter. If you are a preborn child, a helpless preborn child in the womb that longs to one day live and be free, your life doesn't matter to Black Lives Matter. Matters. If you're a black police officer that is gunned down by a black person or that is killed in a riot, your life doesn't matter to Black Lives Matters. But as we went over last week, as we talked about last week, the foundation for racial equality is in the Bible. In fact, there's only one race, and that is the human race. This idea of racism comes from Darwinism, and we'll talk more about that in a subsequent sermon. But know this, that we all, if we could all, as we mentioned last week, if we had a family tree, many people do genealogy, many people look and research their family tree. If you were able to trace your lineage back to the foundation of the world, you would find that you are related to Adam and Eve. And you would also, if I were to do the same and I were able to trace my heritage all the way to the foundation of the world, I would also find out that my lineage is the same, that I come from Adam. As we read from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You see, we are not, our life is not valuable because a police officer might kill us. Your life is not valuable because a police officer might kill you. George Floyd's life was valuable. But the lives of the people that are being murdered in Chicago and in other cities throughout this nation, their lives are valuable as well. The preborn children who are being killed, whether they're of black descent, of white descent, of brown descent, or any other descent, their lives are valuable. Every human being, your life is valuable because we're created in God's image. And we all start from this very beginning. We also, in addition to being all related to Adam and Eve, we can also trace it all back to our lineage, back to Noah. Because all flesh in Genesis chapter 7, verses 21 through 24, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. So during the flood, the only people that survived were Noah and his children and their wives. So we can also trace our lineage back to Noah as well. We have the same lineage. We have the same ancestry. And certainly at some point, you know, the family trees split off and went different directions, and different people that lived in different parts of the world developed different complexions because of the temperature and the amount of sunlight exposure, and different people speak different languages. But we all are human beings. We all are created in God's image. And by the way, in the book of Genesis, after the flood, God reiterates this concept that we are all created in his image, that we are his image bearers. And this is really the reason that God even established the death penalty. Why? To protect innocent human life. If, as the Bible says, I believe it's in Genesis 6, if you shed man's blood, by man your blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he created man. And we also see in Malachi chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 17 of Malachi chapter 2. We're going to see that God creating all is the basis for justice. It's the basis for liberty. Malachi chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, "And now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you do not hear, and if you do not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart." Now, let me tell you, what he's saying here is important. He's talking to the priest. He's talking to the religious leaders of the day. This commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you and will curse your blessings. So even your blessings, and we in this nation have been a nation that has been blessed by God at levels that previous generations and previous times have never seen. The poor in this country are rich compared to people that live in other parts of the world. And in fact, the poor in America, there's been some studies, the poor actually do better off in America than the middle class in some European countries. But see, God will curse even our blessings. And he says, yes, I've cursed them already because you did not take them to heart. And then in verse 3, behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it. So this is very graphic image here, spreading refuse, spreading poop on your face because they were not serious. Certainly they were coming to God. They were sacrificing, but they weren't living according to God's commandments. Verse 4, then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. So here God wants to reestablish this covenant that he had. And with Levi, the covenant was with him, one of life and peace. And Levi, that was the Levitical priesthood, he feared God. He feared him and revered and was reverent before his name. In verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. So here we see that the law of God being in his mouth, injustice not being found on his lips. We want and we desire, and even the protesters that are out there, even those who are with Black Lives Matter, at least say they want justice. Well, you can't get justice without applying the same principles to every person. You can't get justice without applying biblical principles to your life. And we see here that peace and equity, this is the second time in just a few verses that peace is actually mentioned. We see equity, equality, equal justice under the law. Verse 7, for the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So God wants for the pastors, for preachers, to keep knowledge, to present his law, to establish liberty, to establish justice, to be God's messenger, to present his truth to those who are out there. In verse 8, but you have departed. You have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So we see here the departure from the way of God, the departure from the law, causing even other people to stumble at the law and corrupting the covenant of Levi. We in America, Christians in America, pastors in America, have violated God's commandments by not proclaiming the Word of God, by not proclaiming His law, by not speaking forth, and by hiding the truth of the Word of God on certain issues, because we don't want to actually speak out the Word. We don't want to offend anyone. We want people to love us. We want people to like us. God wants us to establish liberty and justice. He wants us to teach the law of God. He wants us to rebuke those who need rebuking. In verse 9, therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. So he's saying that he's brought his judgment upon them because they had not kept his ways, but showed partiality. And isn't that what we're seeing today? When some Black Lives Matter, but not all Black Lives Matter, and when not all lives matter. Verse 10, have we not one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution which he loved. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. And we see here that Judah dealing treacherously, and we see that in verse 10, have we not all one father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? God wants liberty and justice to be established for every human being. He wants not only the lives of black men that are killed by police officers to be valuable. He wants the lives of the police officers who are killed by black men to be valuable. He wants the blacks who are killed by other blacks to be valuable. He wants the preborn children in the womb, whether black, white, brown, or any other color, to be valuable. He wants your life to be valuable, my life to be valuable, the life of every human being to be valuable and to be protected. He wants equal justice under the law. And this is what we need to proclaim. This is what we need to fight for. We need to look at the Word of God and His law and His commandments and apply His principles and His precepts to our lives, to our families, to our cities, our counties, our states, and our nation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? Board of Votes Values is currently seeking volunteers to help produce a voter guide in your county. If you are interested in helping voters vote their values, visit www.floridavotesvalues.com and send us a message. Again, that's www.floridavotesvalues.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Sam Chess. It's my joy to pastor Grace Emanuel Church in Port St. Lucie and to share God's Word four times each week right here on the Grace Alive radio program. Do you ever wish you could read Revelation without being scared out of your wits? Most people don't bother. They leave the chapters tightly shut. In spite of studying the book in seminary, I largely ignored it, but God pressed my face in it for 6 months and assured me it's not a book about fear. It's about victory. It's not about the Antichrist. He's a bit player who loses. It's not about Satan. He ends up in the lake of fire. The hero of the book is Jesus and the redeemed saints, us. We win for all eternity, ruling and reigning with Jesus. Preach that, God said, and I did. Out of those sermons came a book published by Morgan James Publishing, released March 17th, titled Unmasking Revelation. You can buy it anywhere books are sold or go to unmaskingrevelation.com, and I will send you, along with a book, free, a DVD of me teaching the material and two custom color charts. That's unmaskingrevelation.com.